Welcome to Campfire Stories for Kids, an original podcast made by kids for kids.
Get ready for some thrills, chills, and even a few laughs.
We will be reading our scary stories on our very own Flaming Marshmallow scale. A level 1 through 3 probably won't be so scary.
Levels 4 through 7 will be creepy.
And a level 8 through 10 is definitely scary.
So sit back and relax.
And join us by the campfire.
Hello, campers. Welcome to our first live recording of Campfire Stories for Kids. This is something special because we don't often do this, and so it's unique. We're going to tell our stories live today, so that means we're not going to have the Campfire Story Kid players do their little acting thing. We don't have a script. I'm just going to tell stories like I normally do when I'm at camp, which is where we are right now. And so we're going to take some requests. So go ahead. Yes. Oh, there we go. Emily has her hand raised. Yes. What story would you like to hear? All right. The babysitter. Now, this is one of my favorite ones. It is definitely a scary story. So we're going to give this one an 8 flaming marshmallows on the scale of scary stories. All right. So before we get started, I have my campfire sounds here, so I'm going to get the fire crackling and everything. Here we go. Wait. There we go. Now it sounds a little bit more. You guys will hear it when you actually listen to it, but we've got a fire. We got some crickets, so we feel like we're at camp. All right. So Alice, she was babysitting. She did this all the time. It was what she did to make some extra cash on the side. And she was in high school, and, you know, sometimes it's nice to have a little extra pocket money. So she's babysitting these three kids, and they had just settled in for the evening, and they were going to watch an old movie and all that. So Alice was getting some snacks ready when all of a sudden the phone rang. Ring, ring, ring. So she picked it up. Hello, who is it? And there was a voice on the other side that said, I'll be with you and the children real soon. Real soon, and we are going to play. We're going to have so much fun. Click. Hello? Hello? But there was no answer. Whoever it was had hung up. She figured it was probably her boyfriend. He always did dumb things like that, trying to scare her, trying to get her all creeped out while she was babysitting. So she called him up right away. Real funny, Matt. Real funny. Trying to scare me. You know I'm here with these kids by myself. What are you talking about? I'm trying to study for a test. And then he hung up the phone on her. Well, she thought maybe if it wasn't him, it could have been a wrong number. That was possible, right? A wrong number. So they sat down, they started watching the movie, something old like The Blob or something like that, when all of a sudden, the phone rang again. Ring, 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 ring. She picks it up. Hello? Who is it? And the voice on the other side said, only a few more minutes, and then I'll be with you and the children, and we're going to have so much fun. Click. Alice stopped. She looked at the kids and she said, if the phone rings again, don't answer it, okay? There's some weirdo calling, and I just don't want you picking up the phone. So, just before the kids were about ready to go to bed, Alice had them in the kitchen, and they were all making sundaes. Lots of chocolate syrup, some cherries and whipped cream, all that good stuff. And then Sally, the littlest of the kids that she was babysitting, went into the living room because she forgot her doll. So she went over to the couch to get it when the phone rang. Ring, 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 ring. And so she picked it up.
Hello?
And the voice on the other side said, oh, hi, sweetheart. I'll be with you and your brothers real soon, and we're all going to play. We're going to have fun. Click. Who was that? Alice said. Who was that? I told you not to pick up the phone. Well, little Sally, she felt so sad. She thought she had done something wrong. Alice reassured her. She didn't do anything wrong. It was just that, well, she just didn't want her to pick up the phone because of the person who was calling. It was just scary. Alice had to think, so she thought, you know what? I know what to do. I'm going to call the operator, and I'll have her track the number. And that way we can find out who it is. So that's exactly what she did. So she called the operator, and the operator said, okay, don't worry about it. We'll find out where it's coming from. I'll call you right back, and I will let you know, okay? But don't worry about it. We'll take care of everything. Click. I'd say within maybe like 5 minutes, the phone is just ring, 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 ring. She picks it up. Hello? It's the operator. Get out of the house and get out now. The phone calls are coming from the upstairs bedroom. Leave! Alice grabbed up the three children and was heading for the door. And as she was going to the door, she saw at the top of the staircase a man standing at the top. Wicked grin on his face. I told you I'd be here with you and the children. I told you I was coming. And we're all gonna have fun. Alice burst through the door, and as soon as she got out, the police were there. The operator had called the police. They rushed in, and they grabbed the man, and they put him in handcuffs, and they threw him in the back of the car. And as he was driving away, he still had that same smile on his face, and he was still laughing to himself. Alice went over to the police officer and said, excuse me, how did he get in? And the officer said, well, it looks like he'd been living up in the crawl space of the attic for months, living off of birds and rats, whatever got into the attic. All right, does anybody else have a request? Yes, other Emily. The funny talking Tina. Okay. So, talking Tina, the last story that I told was The Babysitter. That was from Alvin Schwartz's book of short stories, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Talking Tina actually comes from The Twilight Zone. It's a great episode, very creepy. But this one I decided I was going to change up and make it my own. So this is the funny version of Talking Tina, which tends to get a few people laughing. So there was this young girl, Sally. Not like Sally in the last story, a different Sally. There can be more than one Sally. Don't judge. So Sally is at the store with her mom, and she saw this doll, Talking Tina, and she loved it so much, and she wanted it so bad, so she went over and she said to her mom, oh, mommy, I love Talking Tina, and you know, my birthday is coming up real soon, and I would just love to have Talking Tina, please. And her mother said, oh my gosh, will you stop whining and begging? Okay? But mommy, please, she's just the most beautiful doll in the entire world, please. Fine, oh my gosh. Oh. So they took Tina over to the cash register to check out the doll, you know, and pay for it. And the mom said, how much is that doll? And the cash register said it was a very sweet older woman. Her name was Betty. She goes, oh, yeah. That's a beautiful doll you got right there. It's just the most. Now, I said, how much is that doll, please? It's $35. Fine. Here. She handed the old woman the money. Betty counted it. One, two, three. Can you speed it up? I have places I have to go. Seems like I lost my count. I'm gonna have to start over from the beginning. One, two. She counted all $30. So they finally got home, and Sally was so happy, she wanted to show her dad, so she rushed in. Oh, Daddy! Look at my new doll, Tina! And her father looked at it, and he said, sweet doll, that's pretty awesome. What does it do? So Sally brought the doll over, handed it to her father, and he pulled the string on the back of the doll. And the doll said, my name is Talking Tina, and I'm going to be your best friend in the entire world.
Awesome.
Besides, you're pretty good looking.
What? Oh my gosh, put that doll away. It's just so creamy. So the dad handed the doll back to Sally, and she was so happy, and she went running upstairs, and it sounded like this. She had large feet, so it was kind of awkward when she ran. And then she shut the door to her room. That evening, they were all sitting around the table, enjoying their meal. They were having tofu, mashed potatoes, and meatloaf. Now, I know that doesn't make sense, because why would they have meatloaf if they're eating tofu? Well, that's because the dad was a vegetarian. Sally was sitting there eating her food and feeding Tina. She was taking large blobs of mashed potatoes and just slapping them on her face. And the mother looked and she went,
it's disgusting. The doll's not even eating anything. You're just putting mashed potatoes all over its face. It's gross. Oh!
And Sally looked up and she said,
oh, I'm so mean, mommy.
And she went running off into another room, and they could hear her running with her awkward feet up the stairs. And the father looked at the mother and he said,
you know what? You know what? Not cool. I'm gonna wrap my tofu and enjoy it later.
So he left. So now it was just the mother and Tina. And the mother looked at the doll, and the doll looked at the mother. And the doll spoke.
My name is Talking Tina, and you know what? I don't think I like you.
Oh my gosh, did you just say that to me?
Yeah, you heard me, girl.
And Tina rolled her eyes.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yes, I did.
And the mother looked at Tina and she said, you know, your voice is really annoying. And Tina said,
girl, you should listen to yourself.
That was it. The mother picked up the doll and she ran over to the microwave and she shoved Tina in the microwave. And then she turned it on for 1 minute. And Tina said,
it's a little toasty in here, but nothing happening.
You must be some kind of evil magic doll.
So she took Tina out of the microwave and she took her into the playroom and she looked, what could she find? What could she use to stop this evil, evil thing? And then she saw it. A toy saw. And she took the saw and she began to saw. But nothing happened because it was a toy saw. And the mom was like,
you're indestructible. I don't know what to do. I know. I'll get rid of you forever.
So she went over to the trash can near the couch that you throw your Kleenexes in when you blow your nose, and she threw Tina in there. And then she said,
ha ha ha. Trash goes out on Monday, Tina.
And of course, it was Saturday. So Tina would have to sit in there for 2 more days until the trash got picked up. Do you think Tina was going to wait 2 more days?
Uh-uh.
Not happening. The mother was very proud of herself. So the next day, she went off to work. She knew that on Monday, that trash was going to be picked up and Tina would be gone. But she didn't expect that when she came home from work, she saw Tina being held in the arms of the father, and they were smooching.
What is going on here?
And the husband said,
I have to be honest. Tina and I have fallen in love. We have the same interest in music. We both like to eat tofu. And we've decided we're gonna get married. And so, Tina, the talking doll, and the dad got married. And the little girl was so happy because now her mom was the most favoritest doll in the entire world that she had ever had in her entire life. And they lived happily ever after. I know, it was pretty incredible, wasn't it? All right. And that story is not true at all. All right. Do I have another request? Another request for a story? Right over here, yes. Me Tai Doty Walker. Okay, this is another good one. Me Tai Doty Walker. It also comes from the Alvin Schwartz Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark book. This is a good one. It's a classic that probably goes back maybe 100 years. I don't know. It's an old story. No, the 80s weren't 100 years ago. That was 30 years ago. Huh? 90s was 20 years ago. You're really off base there, okay? All right. It's not... maybe closer. All right. So here we go. Me Tai Doty Walker. A large house sat on a hill. And it was haunted. And nobody would stay there. I mean, not even the owners had wanted to stay there. They left because of whatever was going on. And there was this wealthy man who lived in the town not too far away from this home, and he made an offer. He would give anybody $10,000 if they were able to stay the night, just one night, in this house. They come out the next morning, they're $10,000 richer. It was that simple. But nobody could do it. Till a young man came along. And he said, I'm not afraid of anything. There's nothing that bothers me at all. I will do it. I will stay in that house, and I will come out with $10,000. The man said, oh, be my guest. But the boy said, I'll do it on one condition. And he said, what is it? That I'm allowed to take my dog. Sure. The more, the merrier. So that night, the young man, he took a sleeping bag. He had a lantern and some food. And he got himself set up, made a nice fire in the fireplace, got cozy. And after he had had his meal and his dog and him had settled down for the evening, he was just about ready to go to sleep when all of a sudden he heard outside in the distance a voice say, Me Tai Doty Walker. Now this was strange, but it could have just been the wind. But then his dog replied, Leechee keechee molly collie dingo dingo. Now, this was surprising to the young man because, well, his dog had never spoken before. He thought maybe in some strange, bizarre situation he had fallen asleep. Maybe this was a dream. But it wasn't. Because then he heard something crawling up the side of the building, of the house, making its way to the roof. And he could hear from outside of the house now, a little bit louder. Me Tai Doty Walker. And the dog replied, Leechee keechee molly collie dingo dingo. The boy was getting nervous. He wasn't scared, but he was getting really nervous. Then he heard something scratching down the chimney, and it was louder now, and it said, Me Tai Doty Walker. And the dog replied. The boy reached over to try and close its mouth, but the dog bit him, and it said, anyway, it said, Leechee keechee molly collie dingo dingo. Then all of a sudden, a head fell down the chimney and hit the logs, sending sparks in the air. It rolled over and looked at the dog. The dog fell over dead. Then the head turned and faced the boy. Its eyes rolled back. Ah! I like that story. It's a good one. Thank you. I got one clap out of that one. Oh, please, please. Not everybody all at once. All right, let's see, who else?
Oh, okay. I don't remember the name of that one. That's also from, yeah, it's from Alvin Schwartz, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Now, I'm paraphrasing. All of these are coming from memory. I don't have the book in front of me. It's not like I'm reading them. Hold on to that, Miley. All right, so we'll just say that this one's called The Voice. Now, of course, I know that's not the title of it. I could always look it up, but again, this is coming from memory. So Amy had just been tucked into bed. Her dad gave her a kiss, and she said to her dad, "Dad, can you leave the door open a crack so I can see the nightlight in the hall?" And he said, "Well, honey, you're a little bit too old for that. I'm going to close the door, okay? Tonight's the night you're going to be a big girl." So she said, "Okay." So her father closed the door, and she lay there in her bed. And as she had drifted off to sleep, she was suddenly woken up by a voice, a very tiny voice, coming from downstairs outside of her room. And the voice said, "I'm on the first step, and now I'm on the second." Well, she didn't know what to do. She thought, that's nothing. Maybe it's the TV. Mom and Dad are watching TV. That's all it is. But then the voice said again, "I'm on the third step, and now I'm on the fourth step." Now she was getting a little bit scared, so she pulled her blankets up over her head. And the voice said, "I'm on the fifth step, and now I'm on the last step outside your door." She could hear the door to her room open. And she could hear something walking into her room. She held her blankets tight. And then she heard the voice say, "I'm inside your room."
Bah! Mom, Dad! All of a sudden, the door burst open. "What is it? What is it, sweetie?" the father said. "What is it? What is it?" "There's something in my room. I could hear it. I could hear it. I could hear it breathing. I could smell it. There's something in here."
Father looked through the closet. He looked under the bed. He looked everywhere. But there was nothing. There wasn't a single person, there wasn't a single thing in that room. That night, the father said, "I'll leave the door open so you can see the light outside in the hallway." All right, I'll take one more request, and then I have a special treat. I'm actually going to read a story that was written by one of our campers. And so, now, I say was written by one of our campers, but it turns out that it's, she was telling me it's part of a legend in a part of Chicago where her grandfather and her father used to live. And so that makes it really interesting. So this is one that you would also find in a book. It's a shared story. All right, so I got three people. Let me hear what your three requests are, and then we'll pick one. Wait till Martin comes. Okay, that's a good short one. That's kind of a funny one. All right, I can do that. That's a short one, and I'll do one other one. So let's take a vote. Black Cat, what was the one that you wanted? Okay, we'll say the Boot Hill Cemetery, and then the other one was The Horrible Thing. All right, so if you want to hear The Horrible Thing, raise a hand. Okay. Three, the Boot Hill Cemetery. Three, and then how about the Black Cat? One. Oh, two. All right, so it's a tie between the Horrible Thing and the Cemetery. Oh, Miss Danielle. Oh, I didn't see it, but Miss Danielle raised her hand. So that means The Horrible Thing. All right, so. We're gonna start out with Wait till Martin comes, and then we'll do the horrible thing. A man was out for a jog. He was running through a neighborhood he hadn't been through before when it started to rain. And man, was it raining. It was just pouring buckets. So he had to find a place to stay. He found an abandoned house, and he went inside. He set a fire in the fireplace to warm himself and to help dry off. While he was sitting there in front of the fire, he started to fall asleep, but was woken up by the pitter-patter of little paws. When he opened his eyes, he saw a little black cat sitting in front of the fire, cleaning itself. And he thought, oh, isn't that sweet? He closed his eyes to go back to sleep, when all of a sudden, he heard more footsteps. But when he opened his eyes this time, he saw a second cat that was twice the size of the first cat. It was about the size of a decent-sized house dog. House dog. That's funny. That's like a decent-sized dog. House dog. I'm thinking like house cat. Anyway, so he looks and he's thinking, this is not right. This has got to be a dream. And then all of a sudden, the large cat says to the little cat, it says, can we do it? Let's do it now. And the little cat said, meow. Wait till Martin comes. Well, the man thinks, this is definitely a dream. There's no way I could be awake right now. So he covered his eyes and he rubbed them really hard and he gave himself a pinch. And then when he opened his eyes, there was a third cat. And this cat was three times the size of the first cat, twice the size of the second cat. I'd say it was about the size of a panther. And the cats, they looked at each other. And the large cat said to the other two, can we do it now? Let's do it right now. But the other two said, meow. Wait till Martin comes. Well, the man jumped up. He ran really fast, and he ran so fast he put a hole right through the screen door of the house. He looked over his shoulder and he said, tell Martin I couldn't wait. All right, now, the horrible thing. Max and Albert were sitting on the porch, playing a game of chess, when all of a sudden, Max noticed something out of the corner of his eye. He turned to look, and he saw something or somebody moving through the cornfield across from the house. It was an odd-looking thing, and when it came out of the corn, it was a horrible-looking thing. Its face was almost mummified. Its eyes were all sunken in, and it wore a gray, tattered suit. Max and Albert didn't know what to do. They felt very uncomfortable, and the fact that it just stood there staring at them made them even more uncomfortable. So the two men decided to go inside. They watched from the window, and the horrible thing, it moved out of the corn. And it came in through the front gate, and it went up the walkway, and then it stopped. And it just stared at Max and Albert, who were now watching it from the window. The two gentlemen didn't know what to do. It stayed there for minutes. And then all of a sudden, as mysteriously as it came, it disappeared back into the corn. Well, Max and Albert, they couldn't forget it. They were almost traumatized by the experience. Years went on, and eventually, Max moved away and had lost touch with Albert. After a long, long while, Max got a call from Albert's wife. She informed him that Albert had passed away, and that it was Albert's dying wish that Max would come to his wake or his funeral. So Max decided it was the least he could do. So he hopped on an airplane and he went back home, and he went to the ceremony. And at the end, when all of the people that were there went up to give their final goodbyes to Albert, who was laying in his coffin, it was Max's turn. Max walked up to the coffin and he looked inside to say his goodbye. And then all of a sudden, he gasped. He stepped back in horror. because the body laying in that coffin, the body of his friend Albert, was the same horrible thing they had both seen that day coming out of the cornfield. All right, so this story was submitted by one of our campers. Now, she said that this happened to her grandfather and her father when he was a young man. And this is a famous urban legend that takes place in Chicago. And it deals with a woman who is always seen walking up and down the side of the road. Now, according to the legend, these two men were driving along late at night. There was nobody to be seen. There were no houses. It was just a long, dark stretch of road. As they were driving, they were passing a cemetery, and they noticed that there was a woman walking on the opposite side of the road, all dressed in a white nightgown with long, gray hair. Now, at first, the two men thought that maybe she was lost or something had happened. There had been some kind of accident. So as they drove past, they decided to turn back and see if she needed help. As they did, they called out to her, but she just kept walking. She didn't answer at all. So the two men, not sure what to do, decided to keep driving. When they got to a restaurant or something, they would get a phone, because this was in the days before cell phones. They would get to a phone, and they would call for police or somebody to go out and check on her. But as they were driving away, one of the men looked back over his shoulder, and she was gone. She completely vanished. Well, when they got to a diner, they went inside, and the two men started talking about what had happened and what they saw and asked if they could use a payphone. But the owner of the diner, he just laughed. And they said, why are you laughing? He said, that's the vanishing hitchhiker. If you think that you two men are the only two to have seen that woman, well, you're fooling yourself. There have been hundreds of people who have come down that road and come in here saying the exact same thing. She's a ghost who is buried in that cemetery that you drove past. Everybody sees her. And she'll never stop and answer you. She just keeps walking in an endless loop up and down that road. Well, maybe if you're in your car and you're on a road trip, maybe you're going through Chicago, maybe you happen to go by that particular cemetery, who knows? Maybe you'll see the disappearing hitchhiker. And then maybe you'll have a story of your own to tell. Thank you. Oh, please, please. Oh, no. Too kind. All right, guys. So we're going to wrap up our scary stories here. And we just want to thank everybody who is listening. Got to thank everybody who's listened to this podcast so far, because, guys, we have had every single state in the United States of America, that's all 50 states, have listened to this podcast. We've had pretty much most of Canada listening to this podcast. And we've had, I want to say, somewhere in the neighborhood of 38 or 40 different countries that have been listening to this podcast. So for myself, I want to say thank you to everybody who's been listening and supporting our podcast, being, you know, able to share these stories. And I think all of you guys should say a nice big thank you too to all these people who are listening to your stories. So on count of three, ready? One, two, three. Oh, you can do better than that. One, two, three.
Thank you!
I think they got it. All right, guys. Thank you so much. And stay tuned, because next week we're going to go back to having our regular stories. We're going to have a scripted one. I'm not going to say what it is, but I can guarantee you, you're going to like it. And yes, and Emily, she wrote it, and she's very excited to have that out there. So we're going to say goodbye, and thanks again, guys. And we'll be seeing you around the campfire.
Well, campers, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and don't worry, we'll be back next week with another chilling tale. If you like what you heard, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you'll get all the new episodes the moment they hit. We also want to thank our cast and crew of Campfire Kid Players. Also, thank you to our partner, City of Port Orange, for helping and supporting our podcast. Until next week, we'll see you around the campfire.